On July the 4th, I, along with a few other people, were sitting watching the parade go by here in town. And after, you know, the trucks and the farm tractors and different people were marching along, and one of the guys who was marching along in the parade came and shook our hand. He was kind of an important person, and his name is Tom Tiffany, and he's our congressman. And of course, you probably know that he's running for governor. And so if he becomes the governor, I can say then I shook the hand of our governor. I don't know if that's a real big deal or not. I don't know how many people are able to shake the hand of the governor. But if he does become the governor, I can say, hey, I shook Tom Tiffany's hand. Well, of course, Tom Tiffany is no better or worse than anybody else. He's just a guy who happens to be a congressman right now. And maybe if he wins the election this fall, maybe he'll be our governor. But he's no better or worse than anybody else. But if he does become the governor, and even as a congressman right now, he has certain responsibilities that are different from ours. I don't think anybody here is a congressman or elected to an office like that. And if he becomes the governor, well, then he will have a sense of authority over, I guess, over the citizens of Wisconsin, of which I guess all of us are. Well, the Bible tells us that people have different positions in life. It doesn't mean that they're better or worse than anybody else. The value of everybody else, all of our value, our worth is equal in the sight of God, because the Bible says we're all created in the image of God. Even our Constitution says we're all equal. We're all of the same value and worth, no matter what we might look like or whatever we can contribute to society. We are all of equal merit or value or worth. But we all have different levels of authority or different positions in life. If Tom Tiffany becomes the governor, well, he'll have a position that gives him a degree of authority. If you're a parent or even a grandparent, you have a degree of authority over your children. If you're an employer, you have a kind of authority over those who you employ. And so most of us recognize we fit into some sort of a structure. We fit into some sort of an organization whereby we have to recognize the authority of somebody over us. And many of us, unless we're just little kids, we recognize that we have other people in authority under us. We fit into an authority structure of some kind. Modern culture, sadly, has largely rejected the idea of authority. People don't want anybody to be in authority over them. People like the idea of autonomy, bodily autonomy and personal autonomy, any kind of autonomy that they can have, meaning that I don't want to be under authority. I refuse anybody else's authority. I am my own authority. The highest sense of authority for many people is simply themselves. I do what I want to do. Don't try to tell me what to do. That is the attitude of a lot of people in our world today. Even professing Christians sometimes deny and neglect biblical structures of authority. The idea of autonomy rubs off even on Christians who think, don't try to tell me what to do. You know, who are you to tell me what to do? So oftentimes Christians even can get caught up in this idea of autonomy. I don't want to submit to anybody else. Well, today we're continuing our studies on these one another passages in the Bible. And today we're looking at Ephesians 5:21, if you still have your Bible open there. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The one another aspect that we're looking at this morning is submitting to one another. As Christians, we're obligated, we're commanded to submit to one another in various structures of authority or in various positions in life. And so what does this mean then, to submit to one another? Well, we'll start by defining this concept, submission defined, first of all. The Greek word literally means simply to arrange under. It's actually a military term, meaning to arrange in a military fashion under a commander or a leader. Some of us were in the military, and we know what it's like to arrange ourselves according to the commands of a military instructor. In non-military use, it means a voluntary attitude of yielding. Again, even if we're not in the military, we recognize there are times we have to yield to the command or the advice or the suggestions of other people. If we fail to yield, we become very stubborn, and stubbornness then oftentimes creates a lot of problems where we simply will not yield or submit ourselves to the commands of somebody else. Really, it's almost synonymous with obedience. When you submit to somebody, you are obeying the instruction, obeying the suggestion, obeying the command of somebody else. That applies to me. I need to yield to this. I need to submit to the instruction that somebody might be giving me. So Paul commands us here to submit to one another. Now, how do we interpret that? How do we understand the levels of submission or the structures of submission that are given to us here in this passage? Let's go on then to submission described. In fact, the rest of this book, Ephesians, sort of describes and explains several areas of submission that Christians are responsible to recognize. First of all, we can say we ought to submit to God. The highest form of submission, of course, is submission to God. That begins, really, submission to one another begins with submission to God. If you have your Bible still open to Ephesians 5, note verse 18. There are two kind of hints here that our first and initial form of submission has to be to God. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Of course, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be under control. Like sometimes people are controlled by wine or by alcohol. He says, don't be controlled by alcohol. Instead, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So our primary submission here is to God, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit fills the individual. At the point of salvation, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. So every believer has the Holy Spirit. We are to be filled by the Spirit. And this filling is compared here to be filled with wine. What does alcohol do to the individual who has too much alcohol? You might say it influences or controls the individual. So just like alcohol might control somebody, so the Holy Spirit is to control the believer. We are to be submissive to the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we control ourselves under the Holy Spirit? It's ultimately submission to God's Word. God, the Holy Spirit, is the author of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So ultimately, being filled with the Spirit amounts to obedience to the Word of God. So when it comes to submission, then, our ultimate submission is to God. We begin this process of submission by being submitted to God. We also find at the end of verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So God puts those in authority over us in whatever place we are in life. We believe that God has providentially put us into the place we are. And so if I'm a parent, that means I have there's submission structures that go on. If I'm an employee, I have somebody who I'm supposed to submit to. If I'm a member of the church, there are submission respects in the church as well. So to submit to God under the fear of the Lord means that we have respect for God and the fact that God has put us into these submission structures that we have to be aware of and respect. Now, in some cases, of course, we would recognize that the person we're supposed to submit to is not all that respectable. They are not a reasonable person, or they're somebody who perhaps is not a Christian, or they're asking us to do things that we don't agree with. It might be a boss, it might be a teacher, it might be a parent or even a pastor who is not respectable, not a person that you would normally submit to or would willingly submit to. But the Bible says here that we are to submit to those who are in authority over us, even if we don't exactly appreciate the kind of people that they are. We can't not submit just because I don't like the looks of that guy or I don't like what he says or what he does. Normally speaking, now there are exceptions that we'll talk about, but normally speaking, we are to submit to those in authority over us, even if we don't necessarily especially appreciate that person or what they stand for. So because we submit to God, this all starts with a submission to God. We fear the Lord, we're filled with the Spirit, and thus we submit to God, and thus we can then submit to others. And he goes on from here in Ephesians chapter 5. He goes on to talk about those people and situations, circumstances, structures in which we are to submit. So notice he says in verse 22 then, wives, submit to your own husband. He begins by talking about authority structure within the family. And a lot of people have rejected this idea of authority within the family. They don't like especially this idea that the wife has to submit to her husband. Many people today, especially feminists today, absolutely reject this idea of a wife submitting to her husband. That seems abusive. But of course, he's not talking about any form of abuse here. Notice that the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He's to nurture her. He's supposed to take care of her. And so if the husband is doing his job, then the wife should really have no problem submitting to him. He's supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church. So if he's doing his job, then her job is to submit to him. Notice verse 24, the husband is the head of the wife. Now you really can't get away from that language. That language is very clear. That is the Christian formulation of marriage. The husband is the head of the family. That's not sexist. It's not, you know, misogynist or whatever people talk about these days. This is biblical. This is right. This is the proper way. It doesn't give the husband the right to be abusive. It doesn't give him the right to be a tyrant. It doesn't give him the right to say everything's got to go my way with no discussion. But it does say that ultimately speaking, God holds the man responsible. So the wife then is responsible to submit. This implies an attitude of submission in everything, as it says here at the end of verse 24. Let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. So the attitude from the wife ought to be submission to the husband's leadership. Let him be the leader. Sometimes Christian wives sort of try to take the reins of the household, and they're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to be a partner helping the husband to lead the family. But ultimately speaking, God holds that man accountable and responsible to be the leader there. Verse 22 and 24 show clearly that the husband's duty is to be the head of the household. Now, feminism that has penetrated our world today absolutely rejects this idea, but Christians must recognize it. Also, as we go on in Ephesians, notice chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So another form of obedience or submission in the household pertains to children obeying their parents. They have to honor their father and mother. Children must honor their parents, and that means that they submit to their leadership. If you argue with your parents as a young person, if you disagree with them, maybe you can appeal to them to change their mind, but ultimately, God has put children in the household under their parents so that the children are responsible to submit. And if they fail to do that, then that's sin. And parents must hold their children accountable for a failure to obey. You need to teach your children young, teach them when they're young children how to obey and what it means to obey. And like we sometimes say, delayed obedience is disobedience. So you have to inculcate, you have to teach those children how to obey and when to obey and the consequences of failure to obey, because those children need to learn to submit to their parents. Then there's submission in the church. So we have the home, and then there's also a degree of submission in the church. Everyone in the church is obligated to submit to Christ. Notice Ephesians 5:24, the church is subject to Christ. So everyone in the church recognizes that part of being a Christian, part of being a member of a church, is submission to the lordship of Christ. Pastors submit to Christ. Jesus is the chief shepherd. The pastor is the under-shepherd. And so the pastor leads, but he leads under the leadership of Christ. The pastor does only what the church ought to be doing. Pastors are under-shepherds. The church belongs to Jesus, and pastors function under Jesus' authority. And then the church also, the Bible teaches, the church members are to submit to legitimate pastoral authority. The Bible talks about the pastor as the shepherd and the overseer, the president of the assembly. So as long as the pastor is serving and leading biblically, follow the pastor to the degree that he's following Christ. So there is that kind of authority as well that we find in the church. Then we find the workplace as well. Submit in the workplace. As we go on in Ephesians chapter 6, notice verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now this is talking about servants, of course, and we might say, well, we're no longer serving in the sense of being slaves. That's essentially what Paul is talking about here, bond servants. So we're no longer under the servant kind of a thing, but the employer-employee relationship is quite similar. And so as we are employed by somebody, we ought to have the same attitude of service. Notice verse 6, not with eye service as man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord. Over in Colossians, Paul says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord or in the name of Christ. Employees ought to be seeking to serve their employer, to serve their business as you would serve Christ. Do it as unto the Lord. And that means we can't do shoddy workmanship. We can't try to get away with as the least, the lowest amount of work possible. We can't be fraudulent. We can't be stealing or cheating those we work for. We have to be honest workers, good workers in the workplace. And then submit in the community as well. There's a community aspect. By that I mean primarily the government. Romans 13, the powers that be are ordained of God. And he goes on in that passage to tell us that by and large we have to obey the statutes and the rules and the laws that our community comes up with. 1 Peter 2 is a good cross-reference for that one. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors. Submit to the authorities. Submit to the regulations and rules. Now, sometimes we chafe under that. We don't appreciate the rules and regulations. And fortunately, we live in the kind of society where we can change those things. You know, every 2 or 4 or 6 years, we can throw the bums out and get a new set of bums in there to rule or to set laws for us. So we do have a means of, you know, overturning bad laws and trying to get good laws to be established. So there's citizens who submit to the government, and even generally speaking, young people ought to submit to their elders. The basic responsibility of young people is that they respect and generally obey older people. That's part of community life as well. So the Bible gives us this whole set of relationships that we have to submit to. That is, we recognize these structures of authority. Most of us fit into this structure in one way or another. Many people today are absolutely and passionately in denial and rejection of these structures of authority. Many people today want to tear down this whole structure of authority, but this is biblical. This is right. This is what God has given us for our good. And so we have to obey. We have to submit to those in authority over us. Civilization itself, and particularly Western civilization, depends upon the majority of people following these structures of submission. We recognize that sometimes those in authority abuse that authority. There's that old saying, all power corrupts. And largely speaking, that's true. We see that in our government. We've seen that in religious spheres. We see that in education. We see that in virtually every aspect of human endeavor, the corruption of power. But that doesn't mean that all structures need to be torn down. It does mean that we need to be careful in how we do our submission. So all that is definitely true and something we need to recognize. However, there are limits. As we all know, there are limits. There are limits to this idea of submission. And so submission delimited then is our third point. Submission to God, of course, is absolute. There's no excuse to not submit ourselves to God. God's commands to us are absolute and unchanging, normally speaking. So we submit to God. God is the authority, and God delegates authority to those who are over us. So you can really extend any kind of legitimate authority back to God. It's delegated from God. God gives authority to the government. He gives the authority to parents. He gives the authority to teachers sometimes. He gives the authority within the church. All that extends right back to God. And so if we fail to submit to the proper authorities, that's a failure to submit to God. So there's really no excuse for failure to submit to God. However, there are others that we submit to, and those are not absolute requirements. In other words, submission to others is conditional and limited. Submission is not absolute in human relationships. So this is where the wife, if she's got an abusive husband, perhaps she doesn't have to submit to his will and his desires. Submission does not mean that everybody has to submit to everybody else. We can't use this text to claim that sometimes the husband submits to the wife, and sometimes the teacher submits to the student, and sometimes Christ submits to the church. That's not how it is. These are simply aspects of submission that all of us have to recognize where we fit in. He's telling us to submit to those in authority over us, whatever the various relationships and positions that those might have. But the Bible does give several exceptions here where we're not required to submit. The general principle in this regard is that we submit unless somebody is trying to command or force us to either do something against God's law, God's commands, or they prevent us from doing our moral obligation. They're telling us to do something wrong, or they're preventing us from doing something that we're obligated to do. If they're trying to do that to us, then normally speaking, or at least in some regard, we are able not to submit. That is, we need not submit. And for this, I think we ought to go to Acts chapter 5, if you still have your Bible open, Acts chapter 5. There's just one or two verses there that I wanted to highlight and look at the context. Acts 5:29, actually we'll look at a couple other verses here too, but to start with Acts 5:29, this is pretty clear that there are times in which we do not need to submit to those in authority over us. So Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So when the men command you to do something immoral or they prevent you from doing what is your obligation, you are not obligated to follow that command. You may not submit to that. Notice the context here. If we back up to verse 28, these are the leaders of the council. These are the people who have authority in Jerusalem. And they said, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." They commanded the apostles not to preach. And what did they do? Did they obey that command? No, they didn't. They kept on preaching. In fact, what does Peter do in verse 30? "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on the tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." We are witnesses of these things. So they say, don't preach this word. And what do? They turn around and preach the gospel. They do exactly what they're not supposed to do or what these guys command them not to do. So this gives us then a pattern when the authorities command us to do something that is wrong or they prevent us from doing something that we must do, then we do not need to submit to that. The Bible gives us several examples where there's good cause not to submit. Can you think of any of those examples, maybe from the Old Testament, where people under authority did not submit? One that I can think of is the Hebrew midwives in Exodus chapter 1, where Pharaoh commanded these women to kill these little baby boys, and they refused to do it. They did not comply. Or one of the more famous examples from the Old Testament that most children know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not bow down to this idol. Or in the New Testament, of course, we have the apostles refusing to submit to this command not to preach the gospel. And most of us would recognize that in these cases, there's going to be consequences, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But these people refused to submit, and that set some difficulties before them. In fact, if you go back to Acts chapter 5, notice Acts 5:33. "When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." So if you're going to not submit, if you're going to say, "No, I do not believe that I have the requirement to submit to you," it could be you may come in for some difficulties from the authorities, and that's exactly what happened to the apostles. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What happens to those people who stand up against an invalid sense of authority or tyranny? Oftentimes, they face some difficult things. So we have to recognize that there may be times not to submit. But let's consider these cases. Let's say in marriage, if the wife decides not to submit to her husband, well, normally she has to submit, but we can consider, we can imagine aspects of things or different kinds of men. If the man is a drunken bum and he is asking or commanding his wife to do immoral things, well, then she need not to submit to a person like that. Submission for the wife is far easier when the husband is a respectable, godly, and honest gentleman. If the man loves his wife as Christ loved the church, then it should be no problem for the wife to submit to her husband because he is nurturing and cherishing her as Christ does the church. So why would a wife have a problem submitting to a husband who loves her, nurtures her, and cherishes her? It should be no problem. But that's got to be that kind of a man. The man has to fulfill his obligations if he expects his wife to submit. And you know, the Bible never commands the man to make sure that his wife submits. It doesn't say here, now husbands, make sure your wife submits. If you're constantly having to harp on your wife that she needs to submit, that's a symptom of a deeper problem. The wife should willingly submit, as it says here, in everything, because the husband is a godly, spiritual, mature believer in Christ who loves and cherishes his wife. And so it shouldn't be a problem for her to submit to a man like that. And if he has to be constantly reminding her to submit to me as your head, well, there's an issue there. There's a deeper problem that needs to be discovered and worked on in that case. Likewise, at work, if the authorities in your job require you to violate biblical commands, well, then you are under no obligation to participate in that kind of behavior. And we know that in businesses and things, sometimes it's a cutthroat world in the business world, and they might encourage you or expect you to commit fraud or dishonesty. And that's where you have to just stand up and say, sorry, I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm not going to tell lies. I'm not going to commit fraud for the purposes of the business. I'm going to be an honest, forthright person and not commit sin just because you want me to do that. In our community, if the local officials demand that we violate Christian principles, we're not obligated to submit. In some communities around the world, you know, it's illegal to, let's say, preach the gospel or bring a Bible in. If you're traveling to some, you know, Muslim nation or some other nation like North Korea, they don't want you to bring a Bible in there. They don't want you to preach the gospel. So do we just say, well, I guess I'm not going to bring a Bible and I guess I'm not going to preach the gospel here because it's illegal? No. Christianity spreads through the preaching of God's word and access to the word of God. And so we're obligated where we go places to preach the gospel. Even if we can't bring it, you know, in a text, we can certainly bring it in our minds and we can certainly communicate. So there are times when the laws of a nation are illegal and, well, they're really immoral, they're ungodly, and we're not obligated to obey those kinds of laws. Normally speaking, under the American system, we say lex rex. Do you remember that old statement from wherever I learned that back in grade school somewhere? The law is king. The king is not the law. The king doesn't set the law. The people set the law. And even the king is under the law. The king must submit to the law. And so likewise, we demand that our government officials, they're not tyrants, they're not autocrats, they have to submit to the law just like we do. And so submission is important when the government officials are keeping, if they're promoting moral laws and they're not trying to stop us from doing what we know is our obligation. You know, during the COVID outbreak a few years ago, I believe that the government really overstepped its bounds by trying to shut churches down. And largely speaking, including our church, we kind of shut down for a few weeks. That, I think, was a mistake. I don't think we should have shut down. We weren't aware of everything that was going on with the whole COVID situation. But if I were to do it over again, I would insist that we don't shut down. And if the government tries to overreach again in that manner, I'm going to be much more opposed to that idea of simply complying with the government because they tell us what we need to do as a church. We believe in the separation of church and state in the sense that we don't believe that the government has the right to tell us how to conduct the business of the church. And so in cases like that, when the government oversteps and overreaches, we need to be very careful not to obey that. And then even in the church, if the authorities lead the wrong way, the members of the church have to have the capacity to recognize we're not going to follow the leaders into the ditch. You know, the blind follow the blind into the ditch. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, follow me as I follow Christ. So we're obligated to follow the leaders of the church as they are biblically leading. We are following those who are leading in a biblical direction. And no Christian has the right to request or demand something of another Christian that is contrary to the teaching of God's word. It might be some nefarious person here comes into the church and wants to lead people in the wrong way, even in an immoral way. And so we need to recognize that nobody has the right to try to compel us to do anything that's unbiblical or immoral. And of course, leaders of the church can disqualify themselves very easily from that position of leadership if they slip into immorality. So we have to be very careful about these things. So although we're normally obligated to submit to legitimate authorities, we recognize that in some cases we are not obligated. If they're not fulfilling their responsibilities, if they're trying to get us to do something wrong, or they're trying to prevent us from doing something right, we know that we're not obligated to follow their leadership. Let's then look at practical steps for submission as we finish out here this morning. What does this mean, you know, in our own personal lives? Well, first of all, submission to God ought to always be our highest priority. We should have strong convictions and commitments regarding our submission to God. God has absolute authority over us. He is the potter. We are the clay. He is the creator. We are the creation. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so we recognize God has ultimate authority over us. We are not autonomous. We are dependent, not independent. We have to recognize our total dependence upon God and that he has the right to tell us what to do. Submission in the home, of course, is much easier when everyone is following biblical principles. Everybody has the same set of values in the home. We recognize these authority structures, and we're going to operate our home biblically. We're going to do it the right way, the way that God commands, and everybody understands those authority structures in the home. When that happens, it works a lot better. In the workplace, we should try to be obedient to those in authority over us. The boss, the leader, whoever it is in the company that has authority over us, we ought to try to be compliant, try to be obedient, try to have good relationships, try to be respectable, try to do our job, do a good job, try to present ourselves well. We're doing it as unto Christ, so we have to do a good job in our workplace. And then in the community, we try to be good citizens. By and large, we try to obey those commands and rules and laws that the government has put forth. We are supposed to respect those in authority, even respect the king, the president, the governor, whoever has executive authority. We try to be respectable. If we can't respect the person, at least we can respect the office of that individual. So we try to be respectful. We try to submit to people, submit to the police, submit to rules and regulations, honor those. The Bible says, honor to whom honor is due. So we have to try to be good citizens and be honorable toward other people. And if we refuse to submit, we really need good, solid biblical reasons. If we decide, no, I'm not going to submit in this case, okay, give me chapter and verse. Show me exactly where the person is leading you immorally, or they're trying to get you to do something wrong, or they're trying to prevent you from doing something right. Show me exactly why the Bible validates this idea of lack of submission. If you don't have chapter and verse, if you don't have good biblical precedent or example for that, then the obligation is to submit. And if we fail to submit, if we decide not to submit, we have to recognize that there may be consequences for that. It's got to be more than, oh, I just don't feel like it today. If I refuse to submit and then there's consequences, well, that's life. And sometimes a business might fire you. Any number of things might happen in a relationship if you refuse to submit. And so we have to recognize that we trust God in those times. Well, Ephesians 5:21 exhorts us to submit to one another in the fear of God. Primarily, we submit to God, and because we yield to God, then we yield to others who God has put in authority over us. It might be government officials, a boss, a parent, a pastor. We recognize the structures of authority that God has put over us. In some cases, we are justified in refusing to submit. But in reality, the cases in which we refuse to submit are fairly rare, at least in our society. They're fairly rare where we would simply say, I cannot submit to this leader in my life. We're normally obligated to submit to legitimate authorities. God has arranged life so that it generally works much better when people submit to legitimate authority. One of the reasons we can have civilization is that people submit to those in authority. And the authority is trying to do what is best for those under their authority. It always works best when biblical, Christian, godly principles rule over the whole operation. If the authority is trying to do what's right for the one under him who has to submit to him, both the one submitting and the one in authority are both trying to do the same thing, and they're both following biblical guidelines, well, then it should be no problem for us to operate in this kind of structure of submission. Our country is in so much trouble because many people refuse to submit and many people are abusive in their authority. And so that should not be true of Christians. We should not be abusive in our authority and we should not refuse to submit. So as Christians, we're morally obligated to submit to one another in the fear of God. And so let's make sure we're following this clear command from the scriptures.